Daily Double
Dungeon Radio Show. Double Dungeon Radio Show. This is Double Dungeon for Tuesday, January 12th.
Yeah.
2021.
True story.
Adi, you know why I'm so happy?
Why?
Because I can see that this podcast is actually recording this time.
I was about to ask you if we were in fact recording.
So we just recorded, what, like, it was 15 minutes,
like
maybe?
15
of
minutes,
content.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I looked at the thing and I was like, this is not recording anything. So we were just doing it. We were doing it, you know, for practice.
Yeah,
this time it's going to be extra
run
good. This time it's going to be extra good.
Extra.
See, I don't even need to ask you. Adi, we're going straight to our try it segment, which we already did. We already tried. So if we sound less excited than usual to try something, you'll know why. Adi, I think we should try something. And I say, hey, yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. I say,
do you want some more? So Adi, what are we trying this week?
I don't know how to Malort.
Malort. Miguel wrote in. Or called in and said, you should try Jepson's Malort. Jepson's Malort is a liqueur or liquor. I do not know the difference after like 12 years of bartending or whatever. It is a liquor that is very famous in Chicago for being disgusting, but also like Chicago bars only will really have it. It's kind of like how San Francisco is somehow weirdly became known for having Fernet Branca. That became
I
thing.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't know why, but Fernet Branca is like an actual thing that you can get out here too.
Yeah.
But they're famous for it.
Oh, wow.
It's like Picklebacks in Williamsburg. Picklebacks are very famous and tied to Williamsburg.
Yes.
So Jepson's Malort is a liquor that is called Basque, which is a Swedish liquor that you drink while eating fatty foods like fish. And they also do it as like tiny shots throughout the meal. Yeah, you're giggling because you know exactly what's coming.
No, I'm giggling because you're actually bringing up a lot of stuff that you did not say before.
I had practice. Maybe we should just record every episode twice.
Yeah.
this Malort is not actually Jepson's. Jepson's Malort, I looked at like every liquor store. I could not find it. So this is the only Malort I can get. And the only place I know that had Malort is Temkin's Bar, which actually just closed this last weekend.
Right.
Till March. But they
just for the season.
They had it and they are doing to-go cups. So it came in a little black ketchup container. and it was $5, which is very cheap for a liquor for some reason. I don't know. Maybe it's because nobody wants to drink it.
I don't know.
So
non-special.
One other thing is, so this Jepson's liqueur, it was popularized in Chicago because there was a Swedish guy who moved to America and started selling his Jepson's Malort as a tonic door to door. And that somebody ended up buying his recipe and marketing it. Now it's part of the reason that he liked Malort is that apparently Jepson was an extremely, smoked a lot. What do you call it? Chain smoker. There you go. So he couldn't taste anything else. This stuff is very, very potent.
Oh, you're going to taste this.
We just tasted. So, Adi, I think...
I have a tiny bit left.
I actually poured you a little bit more.
You did?
Yeah. Let's taste this again on microphone.
I really don't want to.
I'm looking to make sure that it's actually recording
right
now.
Yeah, I cannot do this other time.
Let's go.
This is not for me.
Goes down smooth. This is better than last time. It was good until I breathed in, and then I got a bunch of the... So it's got...
That's not for me.
It's got real dark licorice flavor.
Yeah.
And some caraway.
So for some people may love it.
It's very intense. It tastes kind of like... Oh, I know what it tastes like. It tastes like when you... Yeah, it tastes like when you put echinacea drops in your mouth. That's what it tastes like. It tastes like echinacea.
I've never done that, but now I know. But it's supposed to be good for your stomach. But some people would probably
That makes sense too, because like Fernet is to help settle your stomach as well, which is extremely bitter. Sorry,
it was actually a little better now that I had a smaller sip. And I knew what I was getting into.
Oh, one last thing I was going to say is that I guarantee Papa, he never had this, but I guarantee he would have loved it because it is an extremely dark flavor and it tastes a lot like the licorice stick. He used to buy an unsweetened licorice rod from the Botanica. I don't know why they sold it there.
I was like, wait, what?
But he would buy that and he would just lick on it. And it was, I used to lick on it like, oh man, that's licorice. And it was disgusting. It tasted like leather and rotten wood. I don't know. So he would like this a lot. This isn't actually Jepson's Malort, but we did the best we could. We also need more things to try that are not disgusting Scrapple, or we had to eat the rest of that Scrapple.
Yeah,
that
but
Scrapple,
it was, I know I was making a lot of faces. It was fine. Yeah, it wasn't gross.
You know what? Oh, we Scrapple update.
Okay.
Scrapple. When we did it, so we ate like a third of the brick for the tasting. And then I was like, a few days later, I was like, we got to get rid of this stuff somehow.
Yeah.
So I fried it up more. I realized when we broke it up and cooked it in the pan so that it dried out more, it actually, that was a lot better.
I really liked the edges that were crispy.
Yeah. So like,
the middle
usually,
was so weird.
Usually they fry it in like little slices. I don't know why they do that. Just scramble it and like, you know, grill the whole thing as little crumbles.
I think as little crumbles,
it was better. So...
I'd be willing to eat it
again. Still not great. Not my favorite. It makes a house stink. That's the main problem. It smells like liver. So.
Oh, and wait, and you had already bought it, but then you found some.
Oh yeah, somebody had Scrapple in the giveaway pile. Which yeah. That's not something I'm going to grab out of the giveaway pile ever.
But now that we know what it is,
it was gone later. So either somebody grabbed it, or more likely, the people who maintain the giveaway pile just tossed it.
No.
So they got rid of all that furniture. Remember? There was a ton of furniture at the
They posted again online today to please don't bring furniture over there.
Well, what about all that stuff I just brought?
You didn't bring any furniture. Okay.
Adi?
Yes.
I have our phrase of the day, which I'm excited to listen to again.
Okay. Let me just say that I was excited for the phrase when you're bringing it up just now until I realized that I had just forgotten what the clip was.
So normally I read the phrase of the day, but this time it was from a call-in, so I can just play the phrase of the day.
Monkeys are the most racist animals on planet Earth. Look it up.
What? Why?
It's just as funny as the first time I heard it. So I've been waking up earlier, and so I can listen to Brian Lehrer on NPR, and he starts at 10 o'clock, and I've been catching it early. And so today they were talking about the Capitol, the stuff that happened there, and a former white national called in, and he was like, you guys need to really like listen to what I got to say, because I used to be a white nationalist, so I know what's really going on. But then he also was like a big nerd, as evidenced by this clip.
All right, this is going to be Custer's last stand.
When you say national socialism, you're referring to Nazism?
Sir, you speak the Queen's English quite well. Exactly so.
Who is this? Who talks like that? He has to be from Staten Island, right?
I don't, not necessarily.
I think it's
just I mean,
Staten Island or Long Island. Those are the only two options. So,
mm-hmm.
Adi. So yes. Later in the interview, he was continuing and he was trying to make a point, and he got cut off after this point because I think that the producers of the show probably weren't comfortable with him using the phrase monkeys, but he is actually talking about monkeys. He's not being an outright racist.
As far as you could tell.
I listened to the whole thing.
Okay.
He didn't say, he was actually referring, but I think that was like close enough. That
no,
were,
that's
like, get him off the show,
yeah,
which
don't
is
let
with
him
good
go
reason,
on.
But this is about actual monkeys. He's not being a racist here. He's letting the monkeys do the racism.
Man is built, Mr. Elon Musk is built. They're building rockets to go to Mars and Jupiter. In 1,000 years, we're going to be having the same conversation, Mr. Lehrer. It's a human condition. We come from primates. Monkeys are the most racist animals on planet Earth. Look it up.
So I'm not sure exactly what he's referring to, but I want to know what studies he's looking for. Andrea, our friend and listener to the show, actually did some research. And the only thing she could find when she was looking up monkeys are the most racist animals on planet Earth. Not so that's the other thing, is that maybe there's alien animals that are more racist. But she looked it up, and the only closest thing she could find is that there was a mug that had a picture of a panda, and it said pandas are the least racist animals on Earth because they're black, white, and Asian.
Okay, that doesn't count.
That doesn't count. Yeah, they're definitely...
that's just...
Monkeys are the most racist animals on planet Earth. Look it up.
Howdy.
Yes.
We're all going to die. So, Andrew Cuomo finally coming under a lot of fire for his handling of the COVID crisis.
You know, I thought you were... You said Andrew Cuomo, but in my head translated as Andrew Yang coming under fire.
Oh, well, that's soon. Soon.
Oh, yeah. Okay, Andrew Cuomo.
Cuomo is coming under fire because he is he's botching the vaccine rollout, even worse than the national rollout. He came up with some kind of weird tier system where it's like tier one, but tier one is tier one A, and then tier one B, and then tier one C. And just today they expanded it past tier one C. I don't know what the new classification is called, but they just expanded it to anyone over the age of 60. But the problem is, I follow the news quite closely. I had no idea until today. This came out today.
No, nobody knows what's happening.
I don't know any of the hierarchy. And I forwarded a tweet to you that was from a local politician who was saying, How are the elderly expected to use these websites when it takes like seven different clicks to get to the information to actually log in to make just to make an appointment for a vaccine?
And that matters.
On top of which, you have to upload a photo of your ID, which give that to an average senior who may or may not even have a smartphone.
Right.
How are they going to do this?
Yeah, it's not accessible.
And the worst part is that they're apparently wasting a lot of vaccines because they can't give it to people. Nobody signed up to use it.
Right.
Past because they dilute it. So you actually get six doses out of one vial, but it has to be kept at a certain temperature. So if you don't have six people there waiting to shoot in the arms, it's going to get wasted. But the problem is that they also passed the law that's like there's $1 million penalty if you give a vaccine to somebody out of order. So the whole thing is just like it's regulation after regulation after regulation. What they should do is, okay, you can do, Andrew Cuomo, you can do that in the city. You can control the minutiae of that. But we're also going to just have a place that, hey, anybody in this line can line up and get a vaccine. Period. You might have to wait 5 hours, but you can get a vaccine. Barclays Center. There you go. Done.
Yeah.
They're going to seat you in seats all the way around Barclays Center. And then they're going to just go down the line and shoot people in the arm with the same needle. Everybody gets the same needle.
Have you been following the conversation at all about how they're going to have the 24-hour vaccination sites, but the subway doesn't run 24 hours?
Oh, great. Why don't they just put the vaccine site on the subway?
One of them's City Field, and you're like, you can't even take the 7 train.
Yeah, how do you even get out there?
How do you even get out there? Yeah, that's terrible. That's just saying it's another mess.
Again, like Barclays Center, at least that's downtown Brooklyn. So, I don't know.
Accessible to a number of neighborhoods, but, you know, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
You want people, if you're 24 hours and you want people to take them up on the appointments, but at the same time, you're not giving them an ability to easily get there and safely.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good idea. Maybe I'll get a ski mask and go get some people waiting in line on the vaccine.
Hey, it's messed up.
Adi. So, Staten Island politician came under fire today because a video of her, sorry, I'm trying to keep it together. A video of her came out. At an anti-mask protest where she is shouting at the police officers who are trying to force people to wear the mask. And she is, what she means to say is she means to imply that they are the fascists for forcing her to wear a mask.
Okay.
So what she meant to shout on video was, okay, mein Führer, to the police officer.
Yeah.
I'll do what you say. But instead what she said is she's shouting in the police officer's face, Heil Hitler.
Oh. Oh, that's a difference.
That's a little bit different.
That's a big mistake to make. Wow.
So she apologized. But yeah,
I imagine that she did.
She's not a Nazi. She just made a mistake. One slight mistake by over-exaggerating her position.
Oof. You're contagious.
Speaking of Nazis, I have been listening to a lot of podcasts and reading a lot of news, and everybody is calling everybody Nazis right now. It's kind of over the top.
That's
to the
not
point
good.
That, yeah, it's kind of over to the top to the point that it's like, hey guys, these guys were actually really terrible. Not everybody is a Nazi that disagrees
Definitely
with you.
Definitely not. You can't dilute the term.
It's. I mean, I understand at the Capitol building, there was a guy that was running around. I saw it on C-SPAN.
He's an actual,
he had a shirt on that said Auschwitz camp counselor or something
like
that.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. See, that's very specific.
That's an actual Nazi. Yeah. That guy, you can be like, hey, that's pretty bad. Yeah. You're pretty bad. But everybody is like, oh, well, the right now is saying, oh, well, the squad and the radical left is, they're going to be the new Nazis and they're going to be going after MAGA people. They're going to make them wear flair. And it's like, guys,
what
no, they're
are
not.
You talking
no, they're
about?
Not. They're not Nazis. They're not Nazis. So everybody just relax.
Yeah, everyone
read about a different part of history other than World War II and try and find, if somebody's like, oh, they're the next, the next Genghis Khan.
Needs to really think carefully about what they're saying.
Yeah, just don't default to Nazis for everything. I actually prefer when people use the Harry Potter analogies now, even though it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah,
that
yeah.
People need to move on to something else.
If you're not going to be thoughtful about what you're saying, then that's a little less hurtful.
At least if you use the Harry Potter thing, I know just turn it off. I don't have to listen anymore. Whereas like when they say the Nazis, I'm like, are they actually referring to something specific?
Yeah.
So it's pretty stupid. Adi.
Yes.
Speaking of, wait, how did we get into politics? We did this wrong. Yeah, we're in politics now. We're going to go back. We're going back. Wait, here, let's play the politics
game.
Okay, wait.
It's all the Malort. We're messing
we're taking
up
it back.
Tonight.
Yeah, two sips of Malort, messing up the entire show. So wait, we're going back. Why did I play the whole theme? If we're going back, we're going back. Okay, we're back.
I'm very confused.
We're back in the coronavirus stuff. So I wanted to bring up that one major casualty of the coronavirus is that they had to cancel New York City's beloved annual tradition of the no pants subway ride.
Why are we even like giving them publicity?
Yeah. I hate the no pants subway ride.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I don't feel embarrassed for them.
But they just look cold. Why isn't it in the summer?
It's in the
winter.
Everyone
looks freezing.
So apparently it came from somewhere else, the no pants subway ride. I don't know where it came from. I don't care to look. I looked up the Malort stuff. I'm not looking this up.
No, my ex-boyfriend participated in that year. It was terrible.
There's all these people that show up, and they're wearing just their underwear and a jacket, usually.
Yeah.
And they're getting on the subway.
It's cold out.
Yeah, but it's like, if you just walk around with underwear normally, you're going to get arrested, right? Hopefully. Actually, no, you're probably not.
No, if you're not exposing yourself.
Oh, remember that guy we saw recently that had no jacket and was wearing just a very small dress? And he was clomping around
on the
boots.
Train with no mask. Yeah.
That guy, it was freezing out that day, and he was...
Yeah.
That guy was crazy. So the point is, I don't understand the appeal of participating in this event. I have a feeling this is an event that people move to New York, and they're like, oh, it's such a, you know, wild city, really artistic, blah, blah, blah. And so then they do the no pants underwear, no pants subway ride.
The only people I ever knew personally who did it, they're from here, but they were in high school. So.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
I think that, they're like, young, oh, it's just, enough, edgy.
Yeah, it was ugh, it's stupid. Yeah. It's stupid. So I'm glad it's over. Okay, we're going back to politics. We're back. So.
I'm sorry, everyone.
I know what happened. I skipped down a paragraph.
Okay, well, I'm
having fun. So I want to talk. We already talked about the Hitler lady from Staten Island, which was funny.
And a big mistake to
what
make.
I meant to cover before that is that we have not been covering politics very in depth on the show since the election.
We're getting close to when we
and
can
it's
again.
Been, it's been on purpose.
On purpose.
Because I knew, based on everything I was reading online, because I am not in just a regular Twitter bubble or whatever, I knew that there was going to be a lot of stuff happening on January 6th that was not going to be good.
Yeah.
So
you're Reddit and Discord bubbles.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew that I knew coming from 2 months off. It's been like 2 months now that we haven't been covering politics. I knew that January 6th was going to be a major date for probably violent uprising by Trump supporters. And I can't believe how many newscasters I saw saying on the while I was watching C-SPAN, while I was watching PBS, the two driest news sites or news broadcasts possible, the anchors kept saying, who could have predicted that this would have happened?
Yeah.
Who could have predicted? I predicted 2 months ago that this was going to happen, which is why we're not talking about politics.
I'm sure that there's evidence within law enforcement that this was going to happen.
Yeah, I'm sure there was plenty of law enforcement there. And on that note, let's go to the the next segment. Get out of here. Adi?
Yes.
If people want to, they can leave a voicemail. We have a voicemail box. Just dial. This week, we received a lovely call from Ophelia.
Hello, this is Ophelia, and I have some things to tell you. My mom was out of the room. She was at first stuck in the room.
She was in quarantine.
It was kind of boring. But Nana sent me a baby doll.
Her grandma.
And it only had only pajamas. And my mama bought some more. Cries, it pees, and it does mostly everything, but it can't crawl or poop.
It can't poop.
Oh, and my dinosaur project is really fun.
What is that?
I can paint. I paint pictures, or not really just paint pictures, but paint pictures about carnivores and. Wait, on the dinosaur train, I learned about conifers. And some of them are really tall. That's all. Bye.
Conifers.
Conifers. Oh, yeah.
Good. I like that.
That sounds nice. Yeah.
Very educational. So thank you for calling in. Thank you for calling in, Ophelia. let's go to the next thing. Daily Double. Adi, I keep pointing this out.
Okay.
I can't remember if we covered this last episode.
What?
Who are these psychopaths that live in our neighborhood that keep seeing Christmas trees out in the garbage? And rather than, again, so in Brooklyn,
okay.
We have Mulchfest where you can bring your tree.
Mulchfest.
It's in the park.
It's time to say farewell.
You can just leave your tree out on the street and it gets picked up and taken to Mulchfest and they mulch it. And then they use that mulch in the parks year-round. That's fantastic. That's an excellent solution. And then you get the weirdos that are like, I insist on bagging my tree up and putting it out in the garbage.
I think that's just more lack of knowledge about
Mulch Fest.
What you're supposed to do with the tree.
Again, this is fine. Walking around the neighborhood, there's the third type of person, which is the psychopath. Or I'm also picturing, there was a character, the anal retentive chef on Saturday Night Live who like insisted on doing everything over the top.
Okay.
It's the people that cut all of the branches off of their tree using a skill saw and then they throw the branches into a garbage bag which gets picked up. But then the garbage men don't pick up the actual center of the tree.
And they're just hanging out on the sidewalk.
These mangled centers of trees all over the place. Who are the psychopaths that are doing this? I don't understand.
I don't know. And even if you did talk about it last time, I think it's important enough to still ask yourselves like what is happening.
It's
here.
Like every other block, there's somebody that is this type of personality, whatever this type is. Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Who are you?
Crazy people. That's who they are. You're contagious. So we watched an excellent episode of Columbo that happened to be on.
Oh, that was great.
What was it called?
A trace of murder.
That was
a trace of murder.
A trace of murder. Columbo. Mm-hmm. Which is Columbo is on IMDb. I think people can watch it. On.
Yeah.
So IMDb they could probably find that on there.
Yes, definitely.
A Trace of Murder was one of the better episodes from the later series. I think it was 1997.
It was a pleasant surprise.
And I was excited because it has David Reich. Mm-hmm. I don't actually know how to say his name. Who was Sledgehammer? He was in it as the villain. And then there was another lady that we were like, oh, it's the lady from the other episode, remember?
Oh, yeah,
it's that lady from the other episode. And so part of the way through the episode, I'm like, who is this lady? And
who is she?
So I look it up. Her name is She-Ra. I can't remember her last name. But her first name is Shira or She-Ra. And down in her biography, what do you know? She's married to Peter Falk.
Yeah, whoa.
And they got married. Columbo. They got married in like the 70s. Because she's in this episode, she looks, you know, she's an attractive, not that much, not that old lady, but he's getting older. Turns out they're like 22 years apart.
Something like that. Yeah. Second
but they,
wife.
They'd
yeah.
been married for like, at that point, over 20 years.
And
so.
It was like, we didn't notice her, but she's been in like six episodes
or something. So, and she's good. She was good. I enjoyed that
episode. We're talking about this because we love Columbo.
Yeah, Columbo's great.
Daily Double.
Okay.
You got your Three Kings present.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
right back there.
Thanks, Dad. Yeah, it I is, got a toaster oven.
It's a toaster oven. It is good. For toasting and
for
ovening.
Toasty ovening. Yeah.
When we got home, I was very excited to use the other combined Christmas presents.
Combined Christmas, yeah.
So we got from...
my cousin April.
Exactly. We got a cookie set that was a Reese's cookie that comes with its own cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
That you're supposed to bake
like
the cookie
the mix
in, right?
That you could use to make the big...
A big cookie. Yeah. And the cast iron skillet is
in
like,
the skillet.
Yeah, it's the cast iron skillet's like, I don't know, maybe 6 inches around, something like that. Not even. You were reading the instructions on the cast iron skillet.
Yeah.
It said, before first use, clean the cast iron skillet with soap and water, which I did. And then it said, now you need to season the cast iron skillet.
Right.
How did they say to season the cast iron skillet?
It was...
You're supposed to oil it with vegetable oil. And then bake the cast iron skillet for 2 hours.
Yeah. And then...
And then repeat two more times.
Two more times. Yeah. So...
So this is 6 hours for a cookie kit.
Before you start to make a single
cookie.
Before you make a
single cookie.
Yeah. Not something that's meant to be a reusable kit. Just... I mean, you can reuse a skillet after you've seasoned it, I imagine. But, it's a one-off item.
The other
item.
Crazy thing about this cookie kit is that... Okay. So there's the packet of dry ingredients.
Yeah.
And then you mix that in. You're supposed to mix that with 1 tablespoon of mixed egg.
Yeah.
1 tablespoon. I have, in my years of cooking.
You've had a difficult time.
I have never seen
accepting
an ingredient
that.
Or a recipe that calls for less than 1 whole egg ever.
It's and for so, a single cookie, all right?
I was like, I don't even know. How am I supposed to measure 1 tablespoon of egg, beaten egg? So I had to get an actual spoon and like chop off a piece.
Well, you didn't figure it out.
Egg like holds together. I don't, it was bad. Yeah, I ended up putting accidentally too much egg in.
Yeah, it wasn't a cookie.
The cookie was like a little sponge or something.
It was like a peanut butter spongy cake. Yeah.
And then, so we baked it in the oven. That came out
eggy.
Great. And then after that, I was like, okay, I need to actually bake something a little bit better. So we looked through and we had also gotten
Ghirardelli.
Ghirardelli brownie mix that you're supposed to cook by microwaving in a mug.
Yes.
So I opened it up and there's 4 pouches
super
inside.
Easy, but we don't have a microwave.
There's 4 pouches inside. So I'm like, okay, this is just like, it looks like regular cake mix. So I'm going to just do that. So I mix it all together in one bowl and then it says, let's set for 30 seconds. And I was like, okay, well you normally let it stand for a second. But when I came back, it was like, it looked like a whole cake already. Like it, somehow expanded using the magic of science into the
science.
Full cake form. And so I poured it into the tray, the floured cookie sheet, and I put it in the oven and I baked it for like 10 minutes and it looked done, like overly done. So I took it out and the top was done, but the bottom was like completely
totally
set.
Not.
It was completely set, but it wasn't cooked. It was bizarre because it still needed to cook for sure.
Trying to interpret microwave instructions.
Yeah, that was a
to
very interesting
toaster use.
But we do. I'm very excited because I remembered to get you a kit, a cake mix at the grocery store.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So that you can make cupcakes to bring to your dad, so that he has a treat from your oven. So I'm very excited for that.
Me too.
Trash finds this week.
Oh yeah.
I'm reaching over to grab it.
Okay.
My pocket operator I got the pocket operator Rhythm, which is a...
It looks like a calculator.
It looks like a calculator. It's actually a sequencer that has a bunch of built-in sounds that they sell at Meme Antenna. I think this one retails for $50, and then the case is probably another like $10 or $15 bucks on top of that. I found the whole thing new in the box. And so I'm... Wait, let me see if I can make it make some noise.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what the sound that I've been working on. But yeah, you can hear. So I'm very excited about that. It's got a lot of like little lights and stuff inside.
I know, it's funny.
It's really cool. So I got that. I also got... What else did I get this week? I got that Fiesta dish. I found that in the street.
Yeah, a nice orange one.
A Fiesta dish that matches. So now we have two orange Fiesta dishes. So on Broncos game day, we finally have plates to eat off of.
We can both eat
our nachos off of.
Yeah.
I found these new shelves, which some type of weird vintage plastic shelf that looks like it could be Cartel, but then I was looking at it and I was like, this is not Cartel. Cartel would not do it this way.
Yeah.
Turns out that they're
reminded you of it.
Some vintage knockoff style Cartel. It's their own design, this company's, but they're actually like a known product, but we're missing. I'm kind of upset because we're missing these two little pieces that go on the top that really like finish off the look of it. But it's a nice shelf.
You just got to make them from like cardboard.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a very sturdy shelf for its weight. It weighs nothing. And it actually breaks down completely flat. But it's good for putting the pots and pans on like we have now. I put down some of that rubber matting material. And I think that's everything I found this week. Oh, yeah. And I found how would you describe that? You describe that. That's for you. It's a plexiglass.
Plexiglass.
Plant holder that attaches to the window.
Mm-hmm. With the suction cups. Yeah.
Those aren't suction cups.
No, whatever they are.
It actually adheres onto the window.
It adheres.
Yeah, they're stuck on there. I'll have to use a razor to get it off. That's why I didn't want to get a bunch of them.
Oh.
But we had an onion.
Still cool.
We had an onion that is like sprouting like crazy. So I decided I wanted something to put it in. So now you have a little planty.
I'm excited.
In the window.
Hopefully it'll last.
That's great. You're contagious. All right, last thing. Recipe time. So I've been making tamales. I made a batch last week that came out great. That was beef that I did in the birria style, which is like tomatoes, lots of peppers, and I did it in a crock pot. I don't know what that was.
Are we still recording?
Yeah. And this time I did chicken with green chili. I've never done that before. They're good, but they're not great. They're not great. Here's the problem. And it's something to think about if you're ever making chicken, green chili, tamales. You need to add extra chicken bouillon, more chicken flavor. Because they just kind of are a little bland. And I also think that I should have made the green chili, I should have reduced it, taken some of the moisture out so that I could have more green chili flavor in there too. So
Definitely.
Time, they'll be good.
I still like them.
I also experimented because I had extra masa left over, but not enough chicken. I went out today and bought some more of that wedding Polish sausage.
Oh.
And I stuffed some tamales with wedding sausage slices, peppers and onions, and a little bit more of the white cheese. So we'll see.
I'm excited.
That's an experiment. I think that's actually going to be really good, though. I think
that's going
to be tasty.
Good.
So, all right. That's it.
Oh.
Adi, I think we should get out of here now that the show's actually properly recorded.